Hello and welcome to the Biz News Briefing. Tonight, we have got two focus stories for you. One where a top global fund manager says that Pretoria's approach towards Donald Trump is actually a good one. And then we'll also have some very good news for South African investors. Doesn't matter where you are invested in your pension fund, whatever institution, you can be pretty sure that a big chunk of it is invested in Prosus and Naspers. They came out with financial results today. Very good news indeed. We'll have some more of that coming on later this evening. But let's kick off with good news for Anglo American. Anglo American has now heard from BHP Billiton, the Australian company, that it will no longer be subjected to another hostile takeover bid. Over the weekend, there was a flurry of activity. BHP said it was going to approach the Anglo board trying to do another deal. It tried 18 months ago and was rebuffed. Well, it's been rebuffed again. And the consequence of this is that BHP has now issued a statement under Rule 2.8 of the UK code, which effectively bars it from making another bid in the next 6 months. In essence, that opens the way for Anglo and the Canadian company Teck to confirm their $50 billion merger. And the real last roll of the dice by BHP was for Anglo's South American copper assets, which it was hoping to secure. But Teck and Anglo together are going to be one of the top five copper miners in the world. Another big step forward for the South African company. Also in company news today, Netcare, the private hospitals business, has delivered a robust set of full year numbers. That's for the 12 months to the end of September 2025. It shows resilience in a sluggish economy. Revenue was only up 4.5%, but the real story is efficiencies within Netcare. Operating profit jumped 13%, and the company successfully managed costs and boosted its profit margins to give shareholders a 21% jump in headline earnings per share. They've also declared a dividend of 85 cents for the year as a whole. That's up 21% on the previous year. However, it's not all plain sailing for Netcare. They are making the banks pretty happy. They paid 1.2 billion rand in interest charges. So with a reduction in interest rates, as we heard last week from the Reserve Bank, Netcare is going to be one of the beneficiaries. Well, on to the first of our focus stories for today. London-based South African Sean Pesh, he's been there for over two decades, is now regarded as one of the top money managers in the world. On pretty much every time scale that you look at, he features in the top 1% on performance tables. His Ranmore Funds is also getting more substance as a commentator on international events. And right now, he is warning investors that the United States is fragile, fragile indeed. In fact, he says he's been out of the US market for some time now, and he reckons it could be a move for other investors to follow.
When you look at, you know, that the S&P 500, there are 30 markets ahead of the S&P 500 year to date. And the S&P in euros or Swiss francs is flat. Now, if you're a German, wealthy German investor, and you've taken, your wealth manager's taken the money and put it in the US, you know, and you're looking at the DAX, and the DAX is up 22% in euros, and the S&P is flat. When you've had Trump and the deregulation promises and the, you know, AI boom and you flat. So I think we got to think about that, you know. So the S&P in sterling is up 6%, but the FTSE in sterling is up 17%. I mean, look at the JSE, same story. So, you know, it's in the price.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is. And I had a long interview with Sean. It's in our director's cut on biznews.com/briefing. where he unpacks a lot of issues about global investing and why he believes that it's best to have your money anywhere but the US right now. He also had an unusual endorsement for Pretoria.
I think it's the end of empire because the rest of the world's looking elsewhere. You know, even Canada, Canada, the Canadians are not buying American products. They're taking American wine. And actually, I was talking, when I was in South Africa recently, I was talking to some guys who, you know, own wine farms. They were telling me at a recent expo, okay, of showcasing South African wines, 50% of the buyers were from Canada because they don't want to drink American Cabernet Sauvignon. They're going to drink Stellenbosch Cabernet Sauvignon, French or Cabernet Sauvignon, Robertson. They're not leave a region, ask you. People get grumpy with me. But, you know, so that's actually an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity, rather, if India is not buying citrus from the States, well, it's great. It's an opportunity for us to sell citrus there. And so, you know, you've seen China's exports go up, even though they've fallen to the US. The rest of the world's making a plan going, we're not going to deal with those guys. Keep changing the rules. We'll deal with different people.
You are an investor. Your game is all about keep emotions out of it. So are you reading that what Pretoria, or the angle that Pretoria is following, is actually a sensible one, or are we out of step?
No, I think it's a sensible one. I mean, even here in Europe, we tolerate them. I think the politicians are tolerating America, okay? They're looking elsewhere. We know that we cannot no longer rely on America. I mean, you know, look at this. Look at how they've been dealing with supporting Ukraine. Are they going to give us Tomahawks to stop Russia, or they're not going to give us Tomahawks to keep changing the rules? So the rest of the world, while this Trump administration is in power and it's going to be for another few years, okay, the rest of the world's going to make a plan, and we're going to, they no longer rely. We're not buying defense. We're not buying airplanes. Who was it recently who's buying a whole lot of planes from France? They're not buying US planes, because then the US is interfering and saying, no, you can't use those missiles against Russia. So I think they're becoming less dependable. And as investors, that's also true. You know, I think they're becoming less dependable.
Like a soapy breakup scene, selling your car can be an emotional experience.
Just how dramatic was the car selling experience?
Not dramatic at all. I did my research, and We Buy Cars was by far the best price.
Very not dramatic. But I like drama.
I was standing there watching my phone, waiting for the money to get in, and there it was.
Yes. Car driving.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
I wouldn't mind a little more drama. Anybody bring me some tears?
Warren Buffett says the greatest asset anybody can have is dependability. So what Sean Pesch is saying about the United States as a partner, in addition to being an investable area, is pretty relevant, something to take note of. We'll have more about investable areas later on in the show. But let's get on to those numbers now from the NASPAS Process Combine. They make up 17% of the Aussie 40 on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. That means that if you're invested in shares, you got 17% of that portfolio in this company. And they did not disappoint. Excellent numbers coming out for the 6 months to the end of September. I attended a press conference with the CEO, Fabrizio Bloisi, and his chief financial officer, Nico Murray, today. Here are a couple of clips that are worth pulling out. On the one side, I did ask the CEO to explain how the global scale of this enormous business now is being put to good use.
We work Mondays, afternoons, nights, Saturdays and Sundays, and do not sleep to deliver more. So it's not a joke. I'm being the company forever. This thing of new CEOs of the past, everything that happens bad, it's my fault now. I don't have one example because I have 100 examples. So let's go for examples until you get tired. What creates the value to our group is how we can make sure that we are sharing best practices among all the companies, and they can improve their executions because we are partners of them. So a big change that we started last year that is doing super well is the way that we have a strong culture where we put everyone together and everyone see what's the company that is the best executor in the whole group. And we push aggressively communications, so the bar of everyone else is as good as the best company. So, for example, AI in iFood is the best one. For example, we have now more 100 companies visiting iFood, learning about AI and replicating the same thing.
Incredible. And this is a South African-born business. More than 100 companies going to their Brazilian operation to learn about AI because they're the best in the whole group. What about here at home, the battle between Takealot and Amazon?
Takealot is doing good. It's growing. It's profitable. It's the first time it's profitable. Maybe you can talk a little about it.
Yeah, so Takealot's going well over the period. It's also improving its profitability. We think it will be profitable for the full year as well. We've seen Amazon coming to the market. You have to respect them as a competitor. But we've seen our own business, withstanding that competitive pressure and growing well. So we remain optimistic about the opportunities for Takealot. And as a shareholder, we were willing to support and help them in the competitive battle in South Africa.
My vision, Takealot's operating better. So maybe you can call Amazon and say, how are you facing the competition with Takealot?
There's a bit of confidence there as well. And CFO Nico Malan gives some insight into the sheer scale of this business today.
If you add both Prosus and Naspers together, we've returned $42 billion of capital to our shareholders. We've reduced our share count by about 50% over that period. And that's yielded significant benefits to our shareholders, underlying NAV just through that buyback effort increased by 18%. And continuing that buyback element is important for us.
Investability. Last week, Bloomberg had an investment conference here in South Africa. Recent returnees from the UK had some very interesting things to say about the comparison between the UK and here.
I wonder if you think the UK is on its way to being uninvestable.
The simple answer is yes. I have a particular perspective. I invest in the business. I'm not a financial investor. I'm a investor in operating businesses. And to operate in the UK, I mean, I don't particularly like the guy, but I was watching a video by Dominic Cummings about the A66 in North England, and they've got a. This is an 18-mile stretch of road where they want to move it from single carriageway to dual carriageway. And the UK system is going to take 30 years to do that. I could, if I was allowed to build it in 9 months. So long as the UK takes 30 years to do a 9-month project, it's uninvestable.
Magda?
I've spent the last 5 years commuting between UK and South Africa. I've got business here and a venture capital business in the UK. I've just come back to South Africa. Uninvestable. That government is, between the socialism, and I don't know how right the statistic is, but close enough. 25% of the working population in the UK is on social benefits. If you've got anxiety disorder, you can get social benefits. So when you've got a population, and then think about Brexit, which has basically eliminated the skills that were coming into the UK. So that's gone. Try finding a waiter. Try finding a builder.
Yeah.
It's unavailable except for Polish people, so, there's that. But it's an economy that has completely been destroyed. And because labor has just come in, we're looking at, 4 more years of this mismanagement of the economy. A scary country, wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. As I said, I find South Africa so much more interesting.
Well, isn't that nice to end off with? I'll be back again tomorrow. Cheerio.